Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bava Metzia, daf Pei Beis. We are holding on daf Pei Aleph Amud Beis. We are at the two dots, about six lines from the end of the page. Hilvo Alamashkon Shomer Sachar. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, Ali Lenishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha Ala Shalom, Nisham Shem and Aliyah. Also by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Atzlacha for our soldiers and our captives, they shall all return home safely. And also by Daniel Goldstein, in honor of his father, Ivan Goldstein, Yitzchak Leib, Ben Mordechai Alevi, on his ninth yard site, which was on Shabbos. We thank all the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. What we're going to discuss today is mostly Hilvahu ala Mashkon. What is the status of the guy, of the lender, who's holding on to the Mashkon as far as his relationship with that Mashkon? Is he a Shomer Chinam or is he a Shomer Sachar on that Mashkon? Is he going to be Chayv in Gnei Vaveda or Pater in Gnei Vaveda? So the first thing the Gemara is going to discuss is there any way to reconcile our Mishnah, which seems to assume that a Malva is a Shomer Sachar on a Mashkon, with the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, who seems to assume that he's a Shomer Chinam on the Mashkon. And the Gemara is going to have three approaches to try to reconcile our Mishnah with Rabbi Eliezer. Then the Gemara is going to have four opinions of what exactly is the case where Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva disagree about a Malva al Mashkon being a Shomer Chinam or a Shomer Sachar. Are they talking about a Mashkon that's worth exactly the amount of the Alva, a Mashkon that's worth less than the Alva? Are they talking about where the Mashkon was given at the time of the Alva? Are they talking about a Mashkon that was given not at the time of the Halva'a? So we're going to have four different approaches as to what exactly the Machlokas is about, both in terms of what the case is and what they're really arguing about. Then right before the Mishnah Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to talk about what type of Mashkon can a Malva rent out in order to deduct from the Chov. Meaning we had said in the Mishnah that if you have a Mashkon from an Ani, even without his permission, you can go rent out that Mashkon, and whatever you get for that, you'll be able to deduct from how much the Ani owes you. So is that true of any kind of Mashkon? So the Gemara is going to limit that a little bit. Then the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to discuss a case of a guy who's hired to schlep barrels from one place to the other, or is asked to schlep barrels. We'll see if he's paid, if he's not paid, and he drops the barrels and they break and everything gets ruined. So what is his level of responsibility? The Gemara is going to quote a brisa where there's actually three opinions in Tanayim as to what his level of responsibility is, and then the Gemara is going to point out it's a stira whether a mayor holds that the guy who trips is a posheya, whether nitkal posheyahu or nitkal lav posheyahu, with obvious ramifications for the case of the guy schlepping barrels and dropping the barrels, because he trips and he drops the barrels. So do we consider that to be an act of negligence or not? So let's begin again, six lines from the end of the page, or seven, something like that, on daf pei aleph amud beis. The Mishnah said mashkon shomer sachar, that if you lend somebody money and you take a mashkon, you are a shomer sachar on that mashkon. So says Gemara, they must listen to look Rabbi Eliezer. Our Mishnah is clearly against Rabbi Eliezer. Ditanya, because Rabbi Eliezer's opinion appears in the following brisa. Hamalvas chaver al mashkon, someone lends money to somebody else, and the lender receives a mashkon from the borrower, va'avara mashkon, and then he loses the mashkon. So yishava, the malva just has to take a shavua that he didn't, that he was not posheya in the mashkon, that it was regular geneva vaveda, and then he's not going to be responsible for the mashkon, v'yitol ma'osav, and he can still get paid back from the borrower who borrowed the money. He still get paid back the loan. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. That is Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. So Rabbi Eliezer holds that a malva al mashkon is not responsible for aveda. As long as he was not posheya, he bears no responsibility, which means he's a shomer chinam. Rabbi Akiva omer, yachal omer lo klum uvisani al mashkon, that the lover could tell the malva, wait a second, when I borrowed the money from you, I gave you a mashkon, and that was the whole deal with the loan, is that I had to give you something in return. So avad mashkon, avad ma'osecha, if you lost the mashkon, that is your payment. So you've lost your payment. You don't get paid back again. And the nekudas ha-machlokas is that Rabbi Lazar holds that a malva is not really taking the mashkon as payment, as a way to collect the halva'a. He's taking the mashkon as a way to be sure that the lover is not going to be able to deny the halva'a. So he's not really getting any hana'a from the mashkon, and therefore he's a shomer chinam on the mashkon. And if he loses it, he's going to be pater, and he'll still be able to collect the money from the loveh. But Rabbi Kiva says that the malva takes the mashkon in order to collect the very halva'a if the loveh does not return the money itself. So it turns out that he is getting hana'a from the mashkon, and therefore he's a shomer sachar, and if he loses it, like any other shomer sachar, he's going to be chayv in the gnevah, so it's his loss if he loses it. So the Brisa continues, Aval Hilva Elvzuz Bishtar, but if he lent the guy $1,000 with a shtar, V'niyachlo Mashkon Aleim, and in addition to the shtar, there's also a Mashkon, Divrei Akol, Avon Mashkon of the Ma'osav, then everyone's going to say that Rabbi Lezer will be Moda to Rabbi Akiva, that if you lose the Mashkon, then you don't have the ability to get paid back. Rabbi Lezer is going to be Moda, that in that case where there's a shtar, you obviously took the mashkon as a form of payment, as a way to get paid back, because even without the mashkon, you have enough security that you know that he's not going to be able to be kofar in the halva because you have a shtar. Meaning, if the whole purpose of the mashkon is just to make sure that he's not going to be kofar, that he's not going to deny the halva, well, if you have a shtar, you have the best kind of security that he's not going to be kofar the halva. You also don't need the mashkon in order to be certain that you'll be able to collect your money, because the stam shtar has shibud karkaos, so you'll be able to go to any of his karka, so you have that guarantee as well. So the only reason you need the mashkon is because you're using that as the actual collection, and therefore even Rabbi Eliezer is going to be moda in that case. But leaving aside the case of a shtar, just the machlokas Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva lets us know that our Mishnah is against Rabbi Eliezer, because it says in our Mishnah that a malva al mashkon is a shomer sachar, and Rabbi Eliezer holds that a stam malva al mashkon, when there's no shtar, you lend money and you take a mashkon back, Rabbi Eliezer holds, clearly, you're a shomer chinam and not a shomer sachar. And Pnei Yeshua says, well, why can't you just say that Rabbi Eliezer also holds you're a shomer sachar, and the brisa that Rabbi Eliezer says that you're pater is talking about when there was an onus to the mashkon, and then a shomer sachar is pater on an onus as well. All the brisa never said that Rabbi Eliezer holds shomer chinam. The brisa just says yishava v'yitol, that you take a shavua and then you'll still be able to get paid back. So maybe the case is that there was an onus in the mashkon, and even a shomer sachar is part from that, and that's why he's yishava v'yitol. Yishava means that he has to swear that it was an onus. So that's the kasha the Pnei Yeshua asks, and he says no, because then Rabbi Akiva would not have been mechayev the guy either. So therefore, you see clearly that Rabbi Lazar holds yeshava is just that you're not posheya, and you're not going to be on the hook for geneva v'aveda because you are a shomer chinam and not a shomer sachar. So bottom line is we have a stira between our Mishnah, which assumes that malval mashkon is a shomer sachar, and Rabbi Eliezer, who says that the malval mashkon is a shomer chinam. So we have three approaches to deal with that stira between our Mishnah and Rabbi Eliezer. Approach number one, afilu tema Rabbi Eliezer. Our Mishnah might even be assuming like Rabbi Eliezer, velo kasha, and it's not a stira between Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah and Rabbi Eliezer in the Braisa. Kan shemishkino bishas halvaso. The Braisa where Rabbi Eliezer considers him a shomer chinam is talking about that the lova gave the mashkon to the malva at the very time of the loan. So Rabbi Eliezer says clearly you're taking that just so that the guy will not be able to deny the loan, and therefore you're a shomer chinam. Whereas Kan in the Mishnah, where we consider you shomer sachar, is shemishkino shelo bishas halvaso, that the lova did not give the mashkon at the time of the loan. He gave the mashkon at some later time when the malva says, "Listen, you got to pay me." And the lova says, "I don't have money, but here, take my watch, and you'll take that as a mashkon." So when they do that, I'll be based in. So for sure, the mashkon in that case is for collection and not just so that the guy won't be able to deny it, and therefore he's a shomer sachar in that case. So it all depends on whether it's bishas halva'a or shelo bishas halva'a, because then the goal of the mashkon is entirely different. A mashkon that's given bishas halva'a is just to make sure the guy can't deny it. A mashkon that's given shelo bishas halva'a is a form of payment. So the Gemara says, but v'ha'idi v'idi hilvo ala mashkon katani. Very hard to say that the Mishnah and Brisa are talking about different cases. One is bishas b'shas halva, one is shalom b'shas halva. They use the exact same words to describe the case. Hilvo alamashkon. So how could they use the exact same words to describe the case if they're in two entirely different cases? The Ritva points out, even just the lashon of the Mishnah itself, where it says hilvo alamashkon, sounds like it's b'shas halva. You don't even need to say, oh, that they both use that phrase. Even if only the Mishnah used that phrase, it would still indicate that it was b'shas halva. But it's even stronger when you have the Braisa using the same exact phrase, and then we're trying to make a chilik between the Mishnah and the Braisa. So therefore, the Gemara rejects that understanding of how to reconcile our Mishnah with Rabbi Eliezer. So now we move on to understanding number two of how to reconcile our Mishnah with Rabbi Eliezer. Elo lo kasha. Our Mishnah is not a stira to Rabbi Eliezer and the Braisa, because kan shilvo ma'os. The Braisa is talking about the Braisa where we consider the guy a shomer chinam on the mashkon is where he lent him money, so he's a shomer chinam because he's not benefiting anything from the halva'a. Kan shilvo peros. But the Mishnah that considers the malva to be a shomer sachar on the mashkon is where what he lent him was peros, and you are benefiting when you lend somebody peros, because peros deteriorate over time. So you're giving the guy peros, you're going to get back cash. Cash does not deteriorate over time, and therefore you consider it to be a shomer sachar, because it's a direct benefit in such a deal where I give the guy payros, I'm going to deteriorate, I'm going to get back money. So I asked the Gemara, how can you say that the Tanakhama of our Mishnah is talking about where you lent him payros and not money? Hamiduktani Seifa, the Mishnah itself makes that chilik later on. It says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ilvo, Mal Shomer Chinam, Ilvo, Peros Shomer Sachar, Michal de Tanakhama Lo Shani Lei. That implies that up until that point, we were not making that distinction. And it could have been talking about when you're lending the guy payros, or when you're lending the guy money. So says Gemara, no, we absolutely are making that distinction. Kula Rabbi Yehudahi, you're reading the Mishnah incorrectly. It's not that there's a sheet of a Tanakama who makes no distinction between peros and money, and then a sheet of Rabbi Yehudah distinguishes between peros and money. That's not what's going on in the Mishnah. The entire Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Yehudah. V'chsur mechsar v'achikatani. The Mishnah is just written somewhat cryptically, so you have to fill in a few words in the Mishnah, and here's how to understand the Mishnah. Hilvo al mashkon shomer sachar. That if you lend somebody money and you receive a mashkon, you are a shomer sachar on that mashkon. Bamedvar mamurim shelvo peros. That's only when you're benefiting from this transaction, because you're giving him peros that will rot eventually, and you're going to get back money. Avalavol mos. But if you're lending him money, shomer chinam, then you're a shomer chinam because you do not benefit from that transaction. And where do we see that chilek? Sher Rabbi Yehuda Omer, not a new Tana Rabbi Yehuda. Sher Rabbi Yehuda Omer, because it is the very same Rabbi Yehuda who holds hilvo mos shomer chinam, hilvo peros shomer sachar. So says Mar. But if that's really the chiluk over here, kamala masnisin de lo Rabbi Akiva, then our Mishnah is going to be against Rabbi Akiva, meaning we did such a great job reconciling our Mishnah with the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer that it can only be reconciled with the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. And, you know, when given the option that our Mishnah could either be going like Rabbi Eliezer or going like Rabbi Akiva, wouldn't we much prefer that the Mishnah goes like Rabbi Akiva? Why would we much prefer that the Mishnah goes like Rabbi Akiva? Because, again, why is it against Rabbi Akiva? Because Rabbi Akiva said in the Braisa that you're a Shomer Sachar when on a Mashkon. The Mishnah says that when you... According to the Mishnah, if you're a Malva al Mashkun, you're actually a Shomer Chinam. And you can't say that the Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Akiva. Why are we so loath to say that the Mishnah is going against Rabbi Akiva? Because the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Peivav, tells us that a Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, a Stam Sifra is Rabbi Yehuda, a Stam Sifri is Rabbi Shimon, and Kulam Alibid Rabbi Akiva, and all of those are the leading Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva's influence is in the Mishnah, it's in the Sifra, it's in the Sifra. Free, it's all of his Talmidim that basically established the backbone of Torah Sh'bal Peh. Daf Yomi, coincidence, as we approach Lag BaOmer, that these were the Talmidim Rabbi Akiva, the Talmidim Shabbadarim, that he established after losing the 24,000 Talmidim. The 12,000 sets of Talmidim that he had up until that point. So we don't want to say a Mishnah is going against Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva's all of Halacha is Rabbi Akiva. So Ella says Gemara, how are we going to reconcile Rabbi Eliezer with our Mishnah? Mechavarta Masisa lo Rabbi Eliezer. Third approach, we will not reconcile them. Our Mishnah is against Rabbi Eliezer, because once we're faced with that dilemma, with that possibility of either saying our Mishnah is against Rabbi Akiva or our Mishnah is against Rabbi Eliezer, we'll say against against Rabbi Lezer Shamutehu. Rabbi Akiva is the one that's the backbone of all of halacha. We'd much rather say that our Mishnah is going like the sheet of Rabbi Akiva. Now the Gemara explains what exactly is the both the case and the nekudas hamachlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, whether a malva al mashkon is a shomer chinam or a shomer sachar. So lema, maybe b'delo shavi mashkon shir zuzi u'b'deshmol kamiflegi. Maybe the whole case that they argue, whether a malva al mashkon is a shomer chinam or a shomer sachar, is a case where the mashkon is not worth the amount of money of the loan. I lent you $1,000, I took back $100 of a $150 mashkon, and they're arguing about Shmuel. Da amar Shmuel, if a person lends 1,000 zuz to his friend, and the mashkin that he gives him is the handle of a sickle. I don't know how much a handle of a sickle costs, but it's a lot less than 1,000 zuz. So avad kata de magla of the alpha zuze. So Shmuel holds, well, if you lose that handle of a sickle, there goes your 1,000 zuz. So even though it's not worth anywhere near 1,000 zuz, you now no longer have the ability to collect the thousand zuz. Because by the malva agreeing to receive this at the time as his mashkon, that he's also agreeing that if it gets lost, he's going to lose the entire chov. And maybe that's kufa, the machlokas Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer, that Rabbi Akiva holds exactly like Shmuel. So you lose the mashkon, you lose your money. But Rabbi Lezer does not hold like Shmuel, and the malva does not lose his chov when he loses the mashkon. And even the chelek that of the chov that corresponds to the mashkon, he doesn't lose. Because Rabbi Lezer holds that a mashkon that's not worth a shir halva'a, you're not taking as a collection. That's not the purpose of the mashkon. It's only a reminder not to forget about the halva'a. So it has nothing to do with collection. So you're not getting any benefit from holding on to that mashkon. You're simply a shomer chinam on the mashkon, and if it gets lost, the guy doesn't. You don't have to pay anything for that loss. You're still going to get paid your full $1,000, and you don't have to worry about that at all. But if the mashkon were actually worth the shir alva'a, Rabbi Lazar perhaps is moda that that you're taking it as a collection, and therefore you are benefiting from it, and therefore you are a shomer sachar. So if it gets lost, you will lose your money. So that's suggestion number one. That maybe the machlokas Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Akiva is dafka in a case where the mashkon's not worth the halva'a, and they're arguing whether you have the status of a shomer chinam or a shomer sachar on that mashkon. The Rabbi Akiva holds you're taking it as payment. Rabbi Lezer says you're only taking it as a reminder, and that's why Rabbi Lezer says you're only a shomer chinam. So says Gemara, well, ibid lo shavi mashkon shir zuzi dukuli amalas with the Shmuel. Nah, that's not the explanation of the machlokas. If the mashkon is not worth the shir of the amount of the loan, then no one's going to agree to Shmuel. No one's going to say that if you lose the handle of the sickle or whatever it is, that you lost the whole $1,000. V'hacha, second interpretation of the machlokas, b'deshavi shir zuzi kamiflegi. What they're actually kamiflegi b'drabi Yitzchak. It's b'deshavi shir zuzi. It's where the mashkon is actually worth the same amount as the loan, and what the real machlokas is within Rabbi Yitzchak. Dam Rabbi Yitzchak minayin lebalchov shekona mashkon. Rabbi Yitzchak is one that says, how do I know that a balchov is considered to be the owner of the mashkon? How much is he the owner of the mashkon? To the point that kiddushin, in the first part of kiddushin, we say he can be mekadesh and isha with the mashkon. It's mamish his. The mashkon belongs to him. Not only that, an onus happens to the mashkon. Rashi writes, he's going to be responsible for it. Meaning, it's mamish his. An onus happens to my stuff. I'm the one that loses. So it's mamish his. How do I know that? Says Rabbi Yitzchak. Shenemar, because the pasuk says when taking a mashkon, ulechat tia tzedakah. Pasuk says, v'yimish ani hu lo tishkav b'avoto, shev tashiv lo es havot, kiva ha-shemesh v'shachu v'simlosov v'racha, ulechat tia tzedakah l'fnei Hashem elokecha. That when you return the mashkon to the guy when he needs it, he needs his pajamas to sleep in, and you took the pajamas as the mashkon, you give it back to him each night. So luchat tia tzedakah, that's considered that you did an act of tzedakah. Well, eino kona mashkon tzedakah minalei. The one thing about tzedakah is only when you give your own money. Tzedakah is not when you give somebody somebody else's money to tzedakah, right? Sometimes I'll write a tzedakah check from the shul's account, and someone says, "Thank you, I didn't give you anything. I'm just the middleman," right? Tzedakah is when you're giving when someone gives their own money. So if the guy giving back the mashkon is considered to be a bal tzedakah by giving that mashkon, so that's because he's the owner of the mashkon. Meet kan the bal chov shekon the mashkon, so it belongs to the malvek. He's the one that's doing tzedakah, and that's the machlokas Rabbi Elazar. Kiva. That according to Rabbi Elazar, if a person loses the mashkon, he does not lose, the malva does not lose out on the chov, because he does not really own the mashkon. He's only a shomer chinam on the mashkon, and therefore he does not have to pay for it if it gets lost. But according to Rabbi Akiva, the malva is kona mashkon, and memele, if he loses it, he would have to pay for it, and therefore he loses the money that he lent to the other guy, because that corresponds to the value of the mashkon. And that's the nukudus amachlokas. So it says more vitizbra, you think that's the machlokas. Emor dam Rabbi Yitzchak. When does Rabbi Yitzchak say that a malva is kona the mashkon b'mishkano shalobisha salvaso? That's only if you take the mashkon after the time of the alva. After all, that's what the pasuk chatziyat tzedakah is talking about. The pasuk is, in context, is specifically talking about a case where you took it shalobisha salva, because the psukim leading up to that are kisasha bereach masos muuma lo savo el beisol laavot avoto b'chutz ta'amod ve'ish. So that means Bachutz Tamod is talking about a Shliach Beis Din that's standing outside and does not enter into the Lova's house. And the Shliach Beis Din, why is the Shliach Beis Din getting involved? He's only getting involved after you try to collect a loan that you've already been owed. So this is clearly Shalo B'Shas Halva Aso that the Torah is talking about, where we say that L'chatiyat Tzedakah. So that's Aval Mashkino B'Shas Halva Aso Mi Amar. But if you get the Malva gets a mashkon from the Lova at the very moment of the loan, does Rabbi Yitzchak really say you're the owner of the mashkon? No, that's a totally different situation. A mashkon that's taken B'Shas Halva, you're not taking it as a collection. Rabbi Yitzchak would never say you're kona that, and therefore you cannot say that Rabbi Akiva holds like Rabbi Yitzchak, because the Brisa says, where Rabbi Akiva's opinion appears, says Malva al hamashkon, and we said that phrase Malva al hamashkon means B'Shas Halva. The whole idea that Balchov is kona mashkon is shalo b'shas halva. So it doesn't match. So it can't be that the nekudas hamachlokas between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva is whether they hold like Rabbi Yitzchak of Balchov kona mashkon. So again, the first explanation of the nekudas hamachlokas was whether they hold like Shmuel, that if you take a mashkon that's worth nowhere near the amount of the halva and you lose that, did you lose the whole halva? The second explanation of the machlokas was that they're arguing within Shitas, whether you hold like Shitas Rabbi Yitzchak, that a Balchov is Kona Mashkon, but we reject that as well. So Ella, third explanation of the Machlokas, Mashkono Shelo B'Shas Halva, so Kulei Alma Yisud Rabbi Yitzchak. Look, if you get the Mashkon at some later point after the Halva, of course you're the owner of the Mashkon, and and if you lose it, you're going to be Chayiv, and therefore you lose your whole, the entire amount of the loan. V'hacha B'Mashkono B'shas halva aso. The machlokas over here is the mashkon was given at the time of the halva'a. So what's the nukudas hamachlokas? Why would Rabbi Eliezer consider you a shomer chinam and Rabbi Akiva consider you a shomer asachar on a mashkon that you receive at the time of the halva'a? U'bishomer aveda kemiflagi. They're arguing about what the status of a guy who's a shomer aveda is. You find an aveda, so long as it's in your house and you're guarding it before you've had the opportunity to return it, what is your status as far as that aveda? The itmar, because we were taught the following. Shomer aveda, a person finds a metziah and he brings it into his house and he's being shomer on it. Rabba omar kishomer chinam. Rabba says he's patar and gnev aveda, because he is a shomer chinam. Rav Yosef Amar, k'shomer sachar. No, he's pater on onas, but he's chayiv in gnev v'aveda, because he is a shomer sachar. Why does Rav Yosef hold he's a shomer sachar? Because if at the time that he's osik in the metziah, an ani were to come and ask for food or for money, you would not have to provide that ani with anything, because you're busy being osik in the mitzvah of shavas aveda. So that benefit that you have, with what we call the pruta de Rav Yosef, that pruta that you save, that you don't have to give to the ani, is considered to be your reward, your payment for watching the Aveda. And Rabbah holds, oh, come on, doesn't make you a Shomer Sachar. What are the chances that an Ani is going to come, Dafka, at that time, when you're being Osek in the Aveda? You're not really getting anything out of it. So that is the Machlokas, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva. The Rabbi Akiva holds that a Malve is a Shomer Sachar on the Mashkon, because he holds that you're Osek B'mitzvah. Meaning, as long as you're Osek in the Mashkon, you're similar to a Shomer Aveda, and you don't have to give an Ani any money while you're dealing with the Mashkon, because having a Mashkon is also a mitzvah, just like a Shavas Aveda is a mitzvah. And Rabbi Lazar holds, like Rabbah, that you're not a Shomer Sachar because of the chance that an Ani might come at that time and ask you for money. What are the chances an Ani is going to come at that time? So you see that the machlokas between what we're suggesting, the third suggestion is that the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Kiva is the very machlokas between Rav Yosef and between Rabbah and Rav Yosef, whether a Shomer Aveda is considered a Shomer Chinam or a Shomer Sachar. Now, the idea that Rav Yosef says that you're a Shomer Sachar because if an Ani were to come while you're a Shomer Aveda, you'd be pater from giving him tzedakah, that's based on the principle of Osek B'mitzvah, pater min mitzvah. So the Rishonim already raised the question, does the rule of Osek Mitzvah, pater min mitzvah apply to the mitzvah of tzedakah? The mitzvah of tzedakah, yes, is a mitzvah saseh, but it's also two low saseys. And generally speaking, Osek B'mitzvah is pater from mitzvah saseh. It's not pater from mitzvah low saseh. You can't, you know, you see your friend eating a cheeseburger, you can't say, hey, why are you doing that? You can't eat a cheeseburger. That's a low saseh. That's an issur in the Torah. He can't defend himself by saying, no, I have an aveda that I'm taking care of also. So I'm Osek B'mitzvah. When I'm busy, I'm wearing tzitzis, I'm putting on tefillah, I'm Osek B'mitzvah. So, no, that doesn't help because it doesn't allow you to violate a low saseh. So the Rishonim struggle. How can you be part from the mitzvah of tzedakah? So the Ramban in Kiddushin Daf Lamed Daled says that the mitzvah, the low saseh of tzedakah are a little different than a typical low saseh. The low saseh of tzedakah are clearly there just to be mechazek the aseh. So when the low saseh is there just to be mechazek an aseh, we follow the rules of an aseh when it comes to aseh docha low saseh. Rav Elchanan points out in Kovit Shurim Masechta Bava Basra that also mitzvah is enochinami is pater from some lavin. Any lav that's violated b'shei v'altase, and also mitzvah is pater from as well. Meaning sometimes when we distinguish between an asay versus a los asay, what we're distinguishing between is how did the Torah formulate this iser? Did it formulate this iser in the lishonos of lo hishamer pen al? Or did it formulate this iser as do this? But sometimes the chiluk is not about the formulation of the Torah. The chiluk is about how would one go about violating this iser? Would you go about violating this iser by doing or by not doing? Is it a kumba asay or b'shevi al tasa? The klal of osik mitzvah, pater min a mitzvah, says Rav Elchanan, is that if you're osik in a mitzvah, you're pater from any other mitzvah that's violated b'shevi al tasa. But any mitzvah that's violated b'kum v'aseh, you're not pater from. You're violating basar b'cholov is by eating a cheeseburger. That's b'kum v'aseh. I'm not pater from that. Violating tzedakah, even though it's written in Lo Sikbo, that you're not supposed to close your hand, Lo Samet Sis Levavcha, close your hand. So it's all written in Blush and Law. But how do I violate that? By doing nothing, by not giving the guy tzedakah. So that we would say Osik Mitzvah, Pater Min Mitzvah. That is the Ha'ara of Rav Elchanan. Also, once we're mentioning Osik B'mitzvah, it's kedai to point out that when it comes to Osik B'mitzvah, there are three shitos in Rishonim under what circumstances you're actually Pater from another mitzvah. Tosos Mabakam, Dafn Vavim Beis holds that you're only pater from another mitzvah if it's Eif Shalakayim Shneim, if it's not possible to do both mitzvahs. Meaning, I put on tzitzis this morning, so Tos raises the question, so if I'm wearing tzitzis all day, with tchelis, so if I'm wearing tzitzis all day, I should be pater from everything. I shouldn't be teaching the shir, I shouldn't have to do anything. Okay, I do this for a living, but you know, I've got to feed the family, but I'm saying I shouldn't have to do any other mitzvah so long as I'm wearing tzitzis. But that's ridiculous. Of course you got to do other mitzvahs, even though you're wearing tzitzis. So Tos says, how do we understand that? What about also mitzvah, other mitzvah? If it's efshar l'kayim shneim, if it's possible to do both, you got to do both. The Ran says, no, not about possible to do both. It's about whether you're osek. Are you actively involved in the mitzvah? I'm not osek in the mitzvah of tzitzis right now. I don't even notice that they're there right now. I'm not doing anything. It just happens to be there. So even if it's efshar l'kayim shneim, but I'm being osek in one of them, I'm still potter from the other mitzvah. Whereas the Ravid is quoted by the Rashba, Mesachus Baba Kama, that even if you're not being osek right now, it's just that the Aveda is in your house, you're still potter from the mitzvah. That the entire time the Aveda is in your house, you're potter from other mitzvahs. That is a difficult shita in Rishonim to figure out how that works. You can have an Aveda in your house for months, so you don't have to give tzedakah for months. Hard to imagine, hard to understand that shita in Rishonim. But anyway, so the Gemara is suggesting the third interpretation of the Machlokas, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva, is that they're arguing whether a Shomer Aveda has a din of a Shomer Chinam or a Shomer Sachar, and Memelo, who a din by a Shomer of a Mashkon, whether he has a din of a Shomer Chinam or a Shomer Sachar. So it says Gemara, Lemed Rav Yosef Tanaihi. But according to that, we're saying that the idea of Prutut Rav Yosef, the idea that a Shomer Aveda is a Shomer Sachar, is really subject to Machlokas Tanaim, and Rabbi Elazar doesn't hold that way. So we'd rather not say that, because that's a concept we use throughout Shas. So says the Gemara, a fourth interpretation. Lo, b'shomer aveda d'kulei alma islu d'Rav Yosef. By shomer aveda, of course you're an osek b'mitzvah, and you save the pruta d'Rav Yosef, you save the pruta that the ani would ask you for. V'hacha, over here, Rav Lazar holds a yishomer chinam, is dafka by a mashkon, b'malva tzarech l'mashkon k'miflugi. They're arguing the case where the malva received the mashkon in order to be able to use it and to deduct from the chov whatever value he's getting out of it. So Mar Savar Mitzvah Kavod, Rabbi Kiva says, even a malva like that, who's getting hana'a from the mashkon, is doing a mitzvah. What mitzvah? Shehilvahu. He did the mitzvah of lending money to somebody else. And therefore, even though he's using the mashkon and he's benefiting from the mashkon, he's still considered to be osik b'mitzvah, whereas Vavi Shomer Sachar, and therefore he becomes a Shomer Sachar. Umar Safar, but Rabbi Eliezer holds, no, a malva like that, where you get a mashkon that you're going to be allowed to use, you're going to be allowed to benefit from, love mitzvah kavit, you're not doing a mitzvah, shalana also miskavein, you're doing that just for your own benefit, and therefore you're not potter from giving tzedakah while you have such a mashkon, vavi shomer chinam, and in such a case, you have the status of a shomer chinam, meaning, so what they're arguing about is, when you lend somebody money, and you take a mashkon in return, there's no doubt lending somebody money is a mitzvah, but you did this mitzvah with a little bit of an ulterior motive because you're getting benefit from that mashkon. So do we still call that an osik b'mitzvah? This comes up in the following context. The Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Tefillin writes that kosvei tefillin and mezuzos heim v'tegreim are p'turim me'anachas tefillin. That if a sofer of tefillin or a salesman of tefillin is busy doing their work, they're potter from anachas tefillin. Why? Osik mitzvah, potter min a mitzvah. Providing tefillin for other Jews and writing tefillin, these are all mitzvahs, so you're potter from the mitzvahs. Magen Avraham writes that even though the sofer is he's going to get paid for the tefillin, but since his ikr kavanah is l'shem mitzvah, he's pater min ha-mitzvah. He's pater from other mitzvahs. Even though he's getting paid, he's getting direct benefit from it, but why does a person go into safras? It's not because he thinks it's such a lucrative profession. As expensive as a mezuzah is, if you knew how long it took to write, he'd be better off being a lawyer, right? He'd be better off in some other profession. The person goes into safras because he wants to provide Klal Yisrael with Sifri Torah, tefillin, mezuzahs. So primarily his kavana is l'shem mitzvah. So frek the bir halacha, well, wait a second. That's actually machlokas tanaim in our sugya. That when you're primarily having kavana l'shem mitzvah, but you're also getting benefit from that. So does that qualify as an osik b'mitzvah? Rabbi Kiva holds that even if you're having kavana for the mitzvah, you have a din of an osik b'mitzvah. Even if you're having kavana for your own hana'a, you have a din of an osik b'mitzvah, and that's how we pass in the halacha. So that's what the Bir Halacha points out. Now the Magen Avraham holds that if the person's ikr kavana is for the monetary benefit, then he's for sure not called an osik b'mitzvah. That's his primary kavana in what he's doing. So the Bir Halacha actually asks it as a kasha, because Rabbi Kiva seems to assume that even his primary kavana is l'shem harvacha, that it's considered to be an osik b'mitzvah. So he says it could be that Rabbi Kiva is talking about where your primary kavana is to do the mitzvah of lending money. You just happen to also benefit from the mashkon as well. Okay, Abishalom mutalad mahaskon mashkon shalani lios poches valich. We said that you can rent out the mashkon and of an ani and deduct whatever you get from that as from his chov. So Amar Rav Chanan bar Ami Amar Shmuel halachka Abishal vaf Abishalom Amar ele b'maru upasal b'kardom hol v'nafshigray v'zutu b'tchayu. chtayu, that you, the only types of kelim that you're allowed to rent out and use that money to deduct from the chov that the guy owes you is something that's made out of metal, so it's you can get a lot of rent, you know, you get, it's a high quality item, and it's not going to likely go down in value. So since it's something that that you can get a lot of money to rent out, and the depreciation of it through renting it out is minimal, so that's when you're allowed to rent it out. That's when it's worth it. It's worth it to the ani for you to be renting it out in order to deduct from his payment. But if it's the kind of thing that's very fragile and is likely to depreciate in value significantly, so that you're not allowed to rent out to somebody else. If it's the kind of thing that you'll barely get a couple of pennies to rent out, so that you're not allowed to rent out to somebody else. Okay, says the Mishnah. Mavrichavs makom makom. Someone is schlepping a barrel from one place to another, ushvara, and he broke it. Bein shomer chinam, bein shomer sachar, yishava, whether he's a shomer chinam or a shomer sachar, meaning whether he's getting paid for this job or not, he has to swear that he was not posheya, and then he doesn't have to pay for it. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Rabbi Elazar says that, yes, I've heard this shita, zeveze yishava, that both a shomer chinam and a shomer sachar just have to swear that they were not posheya and they'll be potter, but to me, ani, yicholin zeveze Shava. But I really wonder about that. I wonder whether a Shomer Chinam can swear and be Pater. I wonder whether a Shomer Sachar can swear and be Pater. I don't know about either of those halachos. So Tanu Rabbanan, the Braisa, elaborates that there are actually not just two opinions, there are three opinions. Hamav Rechavas Chaveru Mimakom Lamakom Ushvara, Bein Shomer Chinam, Bein Shomer Sachar, Yishava Divrei Rabbi Meir. So that's the Tanakam of our Mishnah, and that's the sheet of Rabbi Meir, that whether he's a Shomer Chinam or Shomer Sachar, he just swears that he wasn't Pashaya and he's going to be Pater. Second sheet of Rabbi Domer, Shomer Chinam, Yishava. No, make a chiluk between a shomer chinam and a shomer sachar. Shomer chinam just swears that he was not posheya, but a shomer sachar, even if he wasn't posheya, he's still going to be chayim gnei vaveda. So he's going to be he's going to have to pay. And Rabbi Elazar Omer, zevaze yishava. Yeah, I heard like the sheet of Rameir that zevaze yishava, but v'tameinim yichalun zevaze yishava. But I really wonder whether that's true. Even though I heard such a tradition, I wonder whether it's true even about the shomer chinam, whether he could just swear and get off the hook. So the Meimer, the Sevra Meir, Nitkal, Lav Posheahu, we seem to be assuming that Rameir holds that if someone trips, he's not considered a Posheah, because and therefore he's going to be putter from paying if he trips and breaks something. So is that really true? The Gemara asks a stira in Rabbi Meir. Va'atanya, but we have a brisa that says that a person is going in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and he's carrying a jug, a barrel, something, and he trips, Nishpra a kad of lo silko, and the kad breaks, the jug breaks, and he does not remove it. He had not yet had a chance to remove it from the road, or he has a camel that he's walking down the road, and nafla gemala v'lo amida, the camel falls on the ground, and he didn't have a chance to stand the camel back up, and someone else comes behind him and trips on the broken pieces of the jug and gets damaged, or on the fallen camel and gets damaged. Rameir mechayiv be'azekan. Rameir says that the bal HaKad, or the Bala Gamal, is chayiv to pay for the next guy that trips on these things. The Chamam Patam Midina Adam Chayiv Bedina Shemayim. The Chamam say, nah, you're Patam Midina Adam Beis Din. It's not actionable in Beis Din. It's just Bedina Shemayim that you're going to be chayiv. The Kaimalon, and we come to the conclusion in the Gemara Baba Kama, to be Nitkal Posheya Pligi, that the Chamam and Rameir are disagreeing whether a Nitkal is a Posheya. Rameir holds a Nitkal is a Posheya, and therefore you tripped and you broke the jug, and someone else tripped on that, you have to pay because you were Posheya. Whereas the Chacham say, no, Nitkal is not a Posheya. So here you have it. They have Beferish that Rameir holds Nitkal is Posheya, and yet we said in our Mishnah that a guy is schlepping barrels and he breaks them. He just has to swear that he wasn't Posheya and he's fine. When he swear that he wasn't Posheya, if he tripped, that's called Posheya. So it's a stira in Rameir. So Amar Rabbi Lazar, the Amora responds, Tavra Misha Shanazu, Lo Shanazu, that whoever taught us that Shitas Rav Meir is Nitkal, that Nitkal is an Anus, is not the one that taught us the Braisa that Nitkal is Posheya. Meaning, it's a Machlokas Tanoim, what Rav Meir holds, that our Mishnah assumes that Rav Meir holds that Nitkal is an Anus, and the Braisa that says that if you trip and drop the jug and it breaks and someone else trips on that you're going to have to pay for those damages, thinks that Rav Meir holds that Nitkal is Posheya. But that's what they're arguing about. Vas Rav Yudah Lemeimer, so the Gemara says, and what about the other Tanoim? So far we explained Shitas Rav Meir. That Rav Meir in our Mishnah says that the guy who's schlepping the barrels and he drops them and they break is going to be a putter as long as he swears that he wasn't Poshea. He holds Nitkal is honest, that he's not Poshea. So we know what his Shita is. Vas Rav Yudah Lemeim, Rav Yudah is the second Shita holds, Shomer Chinam Yishavin Nos Yisachar Yishalim. That if the guy was a Shomer Chinam, he could swear and be putter, but if he's a Shomer Sachar, he's going to have to pay. Haiki Dinei V'Haiki Dinei, because everyone follows their normal din, meaning a Nitkal is not a Poshea, and it's not an onus either. It's somewhere in between. It would be the equivalent of Geneva Vaveda. So perfect. When something is the equivalent of Geneva Vaveda, Shomer Chinam is Pater, Shomer Sachar is going to be Chayiv. And that's what Rabbi Yudah holds, that a Shomer Chinam is Pater, Shomer Sachar is Chayiv. Vasa Rabbi Elazar Lemeimer, Rabbi Elazar or Rabbi Eliezer, different yourselves, comes to say, in Gemara Karebi Meir, yes, I know that I have a tradition, I learned from my Rebbeim, that Rabbi Meir holds, that similar to Rabbi Meir Shita, that they could both a Shomer Chinam and a Shomer Sachar can swear, and they'll both be Pater. But I wonder whether that's actually true, whether each one can swear. So Bishlam Shomer Chinam Mishtavid Lo Pasha Ba. I understand the Shomer Chinam will swear that he was not Poshea. El Shomer Sachar May Mishtavid Kilo Pasha Nami Shlomi Bai. What's the Shomer Sachar going to swear about, that he wasn't Poshea? Yeah, Shomer Sachar is not Poshea, still has to pay. Vafilu Shomer Chinam Nami. And even by the Shomer Chinam, it doesn't make sense. Hatenach B'Makom Midron. That's if he's going on a slant somewhere where it's considered Karav La Ones. Shalom B'Makom Midron. But if he's going on flat ground, what's he tripping for? Mimatzi Mishtavid Lo Pasha. Can you really swear that he was not Poshea? So, this conversation continues. Maybe we'll pick up again from Bishlama tomorrow when we go through Rebbe Lezer Shita again as the conversation continues into the next stuff. Have a great day, everybody.